This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Robert Wright Lee IV is a North Carolina minister and a descendant of the Confederate general Robert E. Lee. He's made it his mission to counter the racist legacy of his ancestor by speaking openly about racial injustice in the U.S. That mission recently took him to the stage of the MTV Video Music Awards, where he preached about, quote, God's call to confront racism and white supremacy head on.
We have made my ancestor an idol of white supremacy, racism, and hate. As a pastor, it is my moral duty to speak out against racism, America's original sin.
Robert W. Lee IV speaking at the MTV Video Music Awards. But some congregants at Bethany United Church of Christ in Winston-Salem didn't appreciate his comments. Robert had been the pastor there. After facing a wave of backlash, he left that church. But he says he'll continue speaking out about racial injustice. Robert joins me from WFDD in Winston-Salem. Rob, welcome back to the State of Things.
Thanks, Frank, for having me. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, start by telling us how this presentation of the MTV Video Awards came about.
Well, I had had the opportunity to speak about events in Charlottesville with the death of Heather Heyer and surrounding my ancestor, Robert Edward Lee. And MTV, being the great organization that they are, really wanted to confront this head on and reached out to me and said that we would love to have you to present Susan Bro, who is Heather's mother, at the MTV Video Music Awards. And I thought it was an awesome opportunity to be able to speak up and speak out about racial injustice in this country, about the conversations that we're having here at the local level, but also on a national level. And it was just a great opportunity. So I was I jumped at the opportunity. MTV flew my wife and I out there, and we had a great time getting to meet people and talk about these issues that are close to our hearts.
Tell us about your message. And I know that you've been speaking out against sort of Confederate monuments and the need to confront white supremacy. Tell us more about your message.
Well, I want the message to shift as it has become a story about me losing my job over speaking out at the VMAs. I want this message to shift back to the reality that there are Confederate statues still standing in North Carolina today that celebrate Confederate heroes, that there are statues, as Dr. William Barber would talk about, that are speaking out and speaking against persons of color in this state, and we need to have that conversation here and now and today.
William Barber, of course, the former head of the NAACP in the state of North Carolina. Tell us about the pushback, though, you received. United Church of Christ, interestingly enough, is considered one of the more progressive wings of Christianity, as churches go. What was the pushback that you received?
Well, the pushback, I mean, you've got to consider the fact that the United Church of Christ is a very congregational movement, meaning that they decide for themselves. It's a group of churches within a denomination. And the pushback was to the media attention, to all that was going on with the Black Lives Matter movement. But I want to say unequivocally here that I'm not concerned about my well-being in terms of finding a job. I know that I'm going to find a job. My concern is for the persons of color who may not get the call back for the job offer, who may not get the opportunity to have a job simply because of the color of their skin. That's what concerns me. I'm not worried about my future. I'm not worried about what's going to happen to me because I'm a white male. I have such privilege. But I do want to use that privilege in whatever next steps I take to have a conversation with people about what it means to stand up for justice and to call back the person of color as much as you're going to call back the white person for an interview.
No, but it does raise questions about Christianity itself and whether or not it does speak to all of God's creation, or whether there is an exclusion for some in some congregations. You know, the pushback against this does, I think, raise questions about where Christianity is in various congregations and whether or not they do stand for or against racism, and whether or not they feel that Go Forth and Teach All Nations includes this kind of a message or not.
Well, Frank, I want to say that this speaks about a very clear subsection of Christianity, a Christianity that has saddled up beside politicians, conservative politicians, and said that this is not a part of the plan that God has for all people. You can see this with DACA. You can see this with how we're responding to other people in hurricane relief, with FEMA losing its funding. I mean, these people are losing everything, and we are sitting by as Christians and as non-Christians alike and being silent about this. It's preposterous from a Christian standpoint to me that we wouldn't stand up and say, by God, we've got to talk about this stuff and we've got to have this conversation. And you and I have talked before, Frank, about the importance of having these conversations, and so I'm thankful for a platform to speak about this kind of stuff.
You talked about, but of course, in part of the objection and critique among particularly young people is that the church has been silent, everything that you've just said, which is precisely why they don't sign up. Are you still confident that the church is a venue and a space through which this conversation can be had, or does it have to be had outside the church?
You know, Frank, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. You know, as you mentioned before, I wrote a book about the institutional church and my hopes for it. And I'm not going to lie to you, this has hurt my hopes for the institutional church. But I've received so many emails and tweets and messages and Facebook posts about the hope that people have that this is a different kind of Christianity that I'm talking about, that perhaps this is different. You know, my wife and I have been talking a lot years and years from now when we have children about what we will do with this legacy of Robert Lee, of how we will name our future children. Will we continue on with Robert Wright Lee V, or will this be the end here? And one of the things that we've decided is that it's going to end here because a name has such power, whether that's Christianity or Robert Lee, the name has such power. And I look to people, my wife and I look to people like my mentor and her friend Nathan Kirkpatrick, and we think about them and the impact that they've had on our life, and we'd rather name our kids after people like that. You know, that's the message that I want to get out there is what's in a name is important, but what's more important is what you do with that name and what you do with that power and what you do with that privilege.
Robert W. Lee IV is an ordained minister and former pastor at Bethany United Church of Christ in Winston-Salem. He joined us from WFDD in Winston-Salem. Well, as I said, Rob spoke with us earlier this year about his book, Stained Glass Millennials, in which he wrote about the importance of reaching out to younger people to bring them back to the church. Here's a portion of that conversation.
Growing up in Statesville, it's an all-America city. It's one of those places that everyone wants to grow up in. It's just a great town to grow up in North Carolina. But my parents always insisted that when the doors of the church were open, we would be there. We would always be participating on Wednesdays and Sundays and any other time with vacation Bible school and all this other activities. So no wonder I turned out attending seminary. But that being said, it also gave me a deep and abiding love for this institution that is deeply broken right now.
So talk more about that and the millennials you talk with, because one of the things that you want to do with this book is tell the stories that are not being told. There are people who are staying, and they would like you to know why.
Yeah, exactly. I think the thing, we're hearing a lot about alternative facts right now in the media. I wish we could hear a little bit more about alternative narratives, this idea that there is more to this than meets the eye, that the church is doing something great, that the church is working with millennials, that there are faithful millennials who are staying in the church, who are attending seminary across this great nation and across this continent, who are staying and wanting to be a part of God's community. And I think that is a narrative that needs to be heard. It is a narrative that needs to be proclaimed because certainly we have problems that are, the list goes on and on. But I think the reality is that there is good being done, and that is something that needs to be celebrated.
So we want to get to these narratives and talk more about that. But let's find out about what your take is and their take on why millennials are leaving. You talked about it being broken and some of the problems. What are they?
Well, I think the problems are obvious as they are in the political world. If you look at issues surrounding LGBTQ rights, the debates over human sexuality, the debates over politics, that politics takes more in the place of prevalence than the seat of Jesus Christ that we should be celebrating and honoring. We look at this as a political game, and ultimately that's one of the biggest problems. Millennials are just tired of it. They're tired of the drama. They're tired of the mishaps that the church has made across the centuries, across the years, but especially in the past 10 to 15 years of just dropping the ball.
Well, past 10 to 15, you could go back 1700 when it hitched its wagon, Christianity did, to Imperial Rome.
Yes.
And became a seat of power rather than the seat of powerlessness, which to many who read the Gospels, that was the message. It was about embracing powerlessness and finding your identity in a new way. The church becomes the imperial church. Is that not part of the problem, that the close connection between politics and church that has been nurtured for 1,700 years is something that people are feeling deeply at this moment.
Well, I mean, if you look back at the history, specifically in the past 50 years, the church has, as you said, hitched its livelihood on the reality that it is the empire, that everybody goes to church, that everybody attends church on Sunday, and it's a great and joyous thing. But what we're seeing now is that that's dropping off, that people are no longer attending like they once used to because they see the cracks in the ceiling. They see the cracks in the hallways and in the walls of the church and see that there are problems that the church is not addressing. And so it's our job as millennial people of faith, as baby boomers, as Gen Xers alike, to say that, yes, we have our problems, but we are a community who loves deeply, who loves fiercely, and who works together to make this a new and different work in the life of the church.
Robert W. Lee IV, an ordained minister, former pastor at Bethany United Church of Christ in Winston-Salem, from a conversation we recorded with him earlier this year. Just ahead, a new play brings us into the mind of an optimistic baker making a tough decision about who can buy her wedding cakes. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.